And any way I look, I've only seen that I can't leave you with a bad
car off the side of the road, get stuck in a ditch way out in the middle of nowhere. I get yourself in a bind, lose a shirt off your back, need a floor, need a couch, need a bus fare. This is where the rubber meets the road, this is where the cream is gonna rise. This is what you really didn't know. This is why the truth don't lie. You'll find out who your friends are.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Israel's government weighing its options but vowing to respond after Iran launched nearly 200 ballistic missiles yesterday. Israel's Iron Dome system, along with the U.S. and allies in the region, intercepted most, but some hit targets. The President Biden, before leaving to visit storm-ravaged areas in North Carolina, says he spoke with G7 leaders and they're preparing a coordinated response to Iran's attacks.
Obviously, Iran has gone way out of, is way off course. We're going to put together a joint statement. Hasn't been done yet. It'll be done before too long, probably by the time we land. And there's going to be some sanctions imposed on Iran.
The president, ahead of his trip to the Carolinas, approving an additional 1,000 troops to help North Carolina's National Guard deliver critical aid. More than 170 now confirmed dead across six states. Severe heat keeping its grip in the Southwest and Pacific Coast states. Triple-digit temperatures expected for much of this week. This is ABC News. Hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs facing new sexual misconduct allegations. 120 alleged victims now have come forward with plans to sue.
The alleged assaults span three decades, with the alleged victims ranging from men and women who claim they were drugged during Combs' parties to a 9-year-old who claims Combs assaulted him in a music studio. The new accusations have not been fully vetted, and the lawyer expecting to file the lawsuits says victims will remain anonymous whenever legally possible. But the claims come on the heels of a dozen other civil suits and a federal criminal case against Combs that alleges a decades-long pattern of physical and sexual violence.
ABC's Andrew Denberg. Combs' attorneys deny the allegations and are expected to ask an appeals court to release him on bail. A painting found by an Italian junk dealer in 1962 turns out not to be junk at all. It was rolled up in a basement for decades. The couple's son recently bought it to experts who said it was a real Picasso. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Hi, I hear Staples can print everything for my business.
Sure can.
And the quality is guaranteed?
Absolutely.
Plus, you'll beat any price quote. Is that right?
For sure.
How about this one?
We'll beat it.
Can you print menu signs and flyers?
Sure can.
How about blueprints?
No problem.
What about red prints?
Not a real thing.
What if they were?
We'd print them. And they'd look amazing.
Now at Staples, print more, save more. Up to $150 off your print purchase. Ends 11-2. Exclusions apply. Visit staples.com/print for offer details and staples.com/price match for in-store price match guarantee.
Good morning, doctor.
Doctor?
Hi, doctor.
Doctor?
Dr. Jackson's practice is growing.
What do you mean we're still short-staffed?
He needs a good patient doctor.
How do we not have enough doctors to doctor all these patients?
And he doesn't have the patience to sift through hundreds of resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. Former President Donald Trump says he'll crack down on immigration if he gets back in the White House.
I will send in federal law enforcement to liberate every Midwestern town that has been taken over by migrant gangs and criminal alien thugs. We will send them back and we will take back our country soon.
Trump made few specific references to Wisconsin during a stop at Dane Manufacturing in Wanakee Tuesday. He continued to attack President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris on immigration and national security. This was the first time a Republican presidential candidate made a stop in Dane County in almost 30 years. Former Republican Governors Scott Walker and Tommy Thompson warmed up the crowd prior to Trump's remarks. A man was arrested in Arizona this past weekend for a grisly southeast Wisconsin homicide. Friday night, police in Glendale found 49-year-old Teresa De Jesus Cruz Rubio decapitated under a blanket with multiple stab wounds. The woman's son, Alejandro Gonzalez, allegedly admitted to investigators that he killed Cruz Rubio with a kitchen knife. Gonzalez was reportedly using his mother's car earlier that day. That car was found early Saturday morning by police in Phoenix. Gonzalez was jailed and accused of first-degree murder. The discovery of Cruz Rubio's body came as her family members were holding a surprise birthday party for her. A Racine police chase ends with a fatal crash Monday night. Police say they were trying to stop a pickup truck that was involved in a hit-and-run that happened earlier that night. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says officers later spotted the truck and tried to pull it over, but the driver didn't stop. The truck headed to Caledonia, hit a tree while fleeing, and caught fire. The driver died at the scene. The Justice Department is conducting a death investigation. The officers involved are on administrative leave. No one was hurt in the hit-and-run crash.
Believers City Church in Menominee holds community Bible discussions in towns throughout our region. Join us in Durand at the Cell Block Bar and Grill for a weekly Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. No matter what church you attend, you're welcome to participate in this local Bible study. Our goal is to increase your knowledge, your discipleship, and your Christian fellowship. So drop in, enjoy some food and fellowship, and let's dig into God's Word together.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A gorgeous day today under sunny skies. High temperatures hit the mid-70s. However, we've got a feisty wind gusting up to 40 miles per hour at times, creating a high fire danger. Avoid burning. Winds ease tomorrow with more clouds and highs in the upper 60s. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota, and it's worth a look. Currently, it's 61.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
In Wisconsin, and attitudes here are much improved from a year ago. Unfortunately, we can't say the same about farm financials in general. We'll get the details of the latest ag economy barometer this morning. And this place is full of dairy producers. We'll pull some in for this week's Farmer Forum.
Live from World Dairy Expo via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This morning we begin with a conversation with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue. Then it's our Farmer Forum with panelists Gail Klinker and Charles Krause. Directly following the news, Margie Eckelkamp from The Scoop. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now welcome the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Yeah, that's the kind of an error that the spell check just won't catch, Davis.
Huh? You getting the time to catch up on your catching up on your journaling there? Are you?
Yeah, it's the Dairy Expo, the World Dairy Expo, not diary.
Oh,
Dairy Expo.
Yeah. I'm going to need to change my notes a little bit here.
I get it. Welcome to AgriTalk. I am your host, Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson.
Hello, everyone. Yes.
Yes. Big thank you to Alltech for making it possible to bring you coverage from the World Dairy Expo this morning. Appreciate their work. We'll have some conversations about some of the services available through Alltech today. Dude, this ag economy barometer feels like the guys at Purdue and the CME group identified a kind of a dose of reality moment for agriculture and for farmers. And we're going to talk about that with Jim and get to some of the details of what they uncovered in the survey work. And then, like I said, we're going to get into the Farmer Forum. We've got Gail Klinker from Wisconsin and Charles Krause from Minnesota, and our very own Karen Bonert is going to jump in on that Farmer Forum as well, coming up here in just a bit. Mm-hmm. All right, man, let's get to the news. What do you got?
Sure thing. We'll start with the weather. A cold front pressing southward across the northern and central plains today will bring gusty winds, creating critical fire weather for
For parts of the region, red flag warnings and fire weather watches have been issued. I'm going to read that part again, Chip. Red flag warnings and fire weather watches have been issued. Dangerous heat continues in parts of the desert southwest through Friday. Excessive heat warnings are in effect for southwest Arizona into Nevada and large portions of coastal California. Chip?
Yeah. We talked about it yesterday. I'll say it again right now. Boy, just make sure everything is greased up. You don't have any bearings getting hot. Make sure that you're blowing the combines out as much as you can. Don't let any material gather in those machines, because it feels like we're about to get into combine fire season.
Yep. Well said. That's why I brought you there, buddy boy. Thanks for that. Hurricane Helene has left a trail of destruction across the U.S. Southeast, triggering a multifaceted crisis with far-reaching consequences. The storm's impact extends beyond coastal areas, affecting inland regions and mountain towns with unprecedented flooding and damage. Chip, between 400,000 and 800,000 cotton bales may be lost due to the hurricane, though it will take at least 4 to 6 weeks to get more clarity. This, according to Peter Egli, an independent consultant to the industry. And meanwhile, unfortunately, Chip, at least 166 deaths have been confirmed across six states thus far.
Yeah.
All three major stock indices moved lower yesterday, weighed down by geopolitical concerns as tensions have been rising in the Middle East. Last night's vice presidential debate between Tim Walz and J.D. Vance was civil compared to previous presidential debates, with both candidates finding some common ground while still highlighting key policy differences. Analysts say the debate is unlikely to change the trajectory of the presidential race. Did the VP picks change your mind last night, Chip?
No, they didn't. But neither one of them hurt their ticket. Vance didn't hurt Trump. Walz didn't hurt Harris. So, in a vice presidential debate, I think that's probably a win for both. Now, if you're just looking at content, at delivery, at professionalism, and so on, Vance won that debate. I just don't think there's any question about that.
Well, Chip, the White House is urging striking dock workers and business owners to return to negotiations to resolve the East Coast Gulf Port strike. Despite increasing pressure from business groups, President Joe Biden, who identifies as pro-union, has refused to intervene. The Port of Long Beach, the second busiest maritime trade hub in the U.S., is prepared to handle more cargo diverted from the East and Gulf Coast ports. Currently operating at 70% capacity, the port is in a strong position to manage any surge in shipments. Fears about major supply chain disruptions and product shortages may be overblown, Chip, since many companies stocked up in anticipation of a potential strike. We saw this one coming in a mile away, didn't we, buddy?
Well, yeah, exactly. But the problem for some is that they knew that it was a potential strike, but they thought there's no way it's going to happen. It hasn't happened in for so long. There's no way it's going to happen. Well, here it is. It's happening. So we'll talk to Margie about that in a moment.
Well, finally, here the Treasury Department is working to complete rules for clean energy credits under the Inflation Reduction Act by the end of 2024, focusing on clean electricity production and investment credits for technologies that produce electricity with no greenhouse gas emissions. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack has indicated the 45Z credit will likely be finalized before the Biden administration leaves office in January. Over to you, Chip.
Well, seeing as the crop is going to be produced, you know, starting as soon as this year's crop is harvested, we got to be making some decisions. It's already late. That's the bottom line. It's already late. And Vilsack knows that. Let's get the details out. All right. Thanks, Davis. Let's bring in Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. Good morning, Margie.
Hey, Chip. Good morning.
Okay. So the strike is happening. Supply chain issues. What are you hearing?
Yeah. So specifically, I'd like to highlight crop protection products. And this is something, Chip, you and I have talked about in recent months, as far as what does it look like for 2025? How are things shaping up? And maybe this has become a bit crystallized for folks ever since COVID, and we had those multiple black swans flying in. These birds are of a different feather. Okay. And heading into 2024, we had actually lots of product volume. And this is what I am being told, 2025 will be the first year that we really are relying on just-in-time manufacturing of crop protection products. I have had some interviews. Folks are specifically worried about some fall burn down and spring burn down. And I think that's why I wanted to talk about this today, is these are very actionable things for farmers. With so many supply chain unknowns, and you highlight the port strike, for example, that is going on, farmers can put themselves a bit more in the driver's seat by having conversations with their suppliers, their retailers, their cooperatives about exactly what their needs will be. And if you don't raise your hand and don't make those needs and demands known, we mm-hmm. will have some inventory issues and someone right. will get told no.
Right, right. So communicate. Communicate with your retailer. Make sure that they understand exactly what you're needing. Margie, good advice right there. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Chip.
You bet. Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop. You can get more on this and other issues at www.thedailyscoop.com. Jim Mintert, Purdue University, is up next here on AgriTalk.
You need proven solutions built for specific agronomic needs, supported by millions of data points, like countless wind tunnel trials and decades of answer plot research. Solutions you can rely on for stronger emergence, greater leaf coverage, and more. Contact your local Winfield United retailer to unlock the full potential of every field by taking a whole acre approach with crop protection solutions built for success, built for you, built for it.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Always up early, always getting the job done, always working as hard as you can, always pushing for more, because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn, featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand, never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
For some farmers, soybeans are on their mind 24/7. If you're all about the beans, then Asgrow brand is all about you. That's why we've dedicated ourselves to developing truly localized products. Products with leading genetics and top-tier weed management. Products that maximize the profit potential on every acre you've got. You're serious about soybeans, and we're serious about your success. Visit Asgrow.com. It's all about the beans. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Tax season is just around the corner. Let the experienced tax professionals at Sundstrom & Company in downtown Durand help you explore ways you can save money on your taxes. Sundstrom & Company works with farms, corporations, family-owned businesses, and individuals to make your tax headaches disappear. Call or visit Sundstrom today for an appointment at their Main Street Durand location next to the Courier Wedge. Sundstrom & Company, local accountants providing quality tax and financial management since 1980.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Winfield United. Unlock the full potential of every field with Winfield United crop protection solutions built from decades of research. Built for success, built for you, built for it. Learn more at winfieldunited.com.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Lorre. We are live at the World Dairy Expo. Big thank you to Alltech for making it possible to bring you coverage from the World Dairy Expo. With that in mind, let's go ahead and make time for this industry spotlight. Jorge Delgado is responsible for training and talent development for dairy workers through the Alltech T2R program. Jorge, welcome.
So much for having me here.
Yeah, glad that you're here. Okay, talk to me about the T2R program. What is it?
Yeah, the T2R program is a program that was born based on the needs of the dairy farmers, employing workers mainly coming from Mexico and Central America. Most of these workers, they do not speak English, and many of these workers, they don't have any experience working on dairy farms. Very, very low numbers. 2% only worked with cows in the past.
Yeah.
And so they are expected to do a lot of tasks in the farms, all the way from maternity chores, all the way to feeding cows.
Yeah.
So what I do in this role is I train these guys, these individuals, coaching them, training them on the things that they need to do right so they can be efficient to the dairy farmers. And the main thing that we do is to coach them, train them, and just let them know that they are important in this role.
Yeah, and this is bilingual training that's happening, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. This is bilingual. So again, mainly the workers that are working on dairy farms right now, they come from Central America and Mexico, so they are speaking Spanish. So I'm from Ecuador, South America, so I speak the language.
Yeah, yeah. And this training happens on farm, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. So...
what advantage doing it that way, because they're in the environment that they're going to be working in and putting this stuff to practice.
Correct. Yes, sir. Yes. We go to the farm. So then the nutritionist of the farm or the dairy farmer, they can call me, and then we go on the farm and we train these guys on the things that they need to do. So milking cows, transition, moving cows, cow handling, stockmanship, whatever they need.
That's outstanding. And it's all about making sure that everyone is communicating and communicating clearly, and that responsibilities are understood.
Correct. The main thing is that they understand the whys and hows, and their expectations, so they can do the right thing at the farm, and feel that they are partners of the farm, that they are not just workers, but they are a great relation with the dairy industry.
Jorge, that is something that we talk about all the time on AgriTalk. If you're going to have a successful employee, they need to feel that sense of a partnership or ownership in that facility. And that's what you're helping to build.
Yes, sir. Yes. Once they understand the whys and hows, they become partners, saying not just workers. So that's the great thing about communicating with the workers.
That is so cool. Where can listeners go for more information on this?
Well, you can communicate with to my email, jdelgado@alltech.com, or go to our website and you can find the T2R program there and have access to the services.
T2R program.
Yes,
good
sir.
Stuff, Jorge. Thank you so much. That is Jorge Delgado, training and talent development for dairy workers through the Alltech T2R program. All right. Let's go ahead and bring in Jim Minter, director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University. Jim, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
Very good, and great to talk to you as well, Chip.
Yeah. Okay. Jim, there's some big changes in the, well, I shouldn't say changes. We're kind of accelerating the trend that we saw in the index from last month, right?
Accelerating is probably a good way to think about it, Chip. The Ag Economy Barometer Index was down 12 points this month. That brings it down to 88. Yeah. Leaves it 18 points lower than it was this time last year. And if you look at the index of current conditions and the index of future expectations, they were both down as well. Current condition index down 7 points. It leaves it 22 points lower than a year ago. Future expectations down 14 points compared to last month. And that leaves that one down 15 points below a year ago. So people are definitely less optimistic, both about the current situation and, I think, importantly, about the future as well.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And the future expectations dropping under 100 on the index, that's a significant event for this index, isn't it?
Well, the fact that we're below 100 on all three indices, I think, is significant. And then you're right, because that future expectation index, particularly in recent months, has been more positive or less pessimistic than the current condition index. And that makes a lot of sense, because that question, that index, is based on a question that asks people to look ahead 5 years.
Yeah.
So this tells me that people are worried not only about what's going on in 2024, they're looking ahead to 2025 and beyond and have some serious concerns.
Well, yeah. And then when you take into consideration that conditions are not good at this moment, which is reflected in the current conditions, but there are more people that don't expect improvement than do expect improvement in the future. That's, this is, it, it feels like the those responding to the survey have it been hit with a dose of reality here, Jim. Is it, is that saying it too strongly?
Well, I think that's sort of right. I mean, if you look back earlier in the year, and I think maybe especially looking at the like the Farm Financial Performance Index, we go back about 4 months. We were getting some readings there that I think from my perspective and maybe your perspective as well, we were a little surprised at how positive they were. So that Farm Financial Performance Index, I think back in June, was at a reading of 85. And we were already starting to think this is going to be a tough year because we could kind of see where prices had already declined significantly and had prospects for maybe declining some more. And of course, what's happened in the last several months now, that Farm Financial Performance Index has dropped like a rock. It's down to 68. Yeah. So we've lost, what, almost 20 points, I think 17 points since June. So I think that is the dose of reality. People recognize, okay, we got a good crop, but the good yields are not going to bail us out of this price situation.
Right, right. Exactly. Okay, so commodity prices number is a big concern. Input costs still a big concern. But when producers are looking forward, what are they identifying as reasons for a lack of optimism in the future?
Well, the big shift in that question where we ask people about their biggest concerns for the upcoming year, the big shift over the last year has been the fact that more and more people are telling us that they're worried about low crop and livestock prices, and that may be continuing perhaps not only for the upcoming year, but maybe even farther into the future. Mm-hmm. The high input cost has been a top concern since the first time we asked the question, which has been, I think, over a year and a half ago now. So the idea that this month low crop and livestock prices is essentially tied with that for the top concern, I think is significant and really points to what's driving this. It's this idea of we got a cost price squeeze. You're worried about high input cost on one side. You're worried about low crop and livestock prices, especially crop prices, because our survey is biased towards crop producers. That really spells the tells the story. Fewer people are worried about interest rates. It's still a concern, but not as big as it was this time last year.
Okay. All right. So this thing is, you know, the rug has kind of been pulled out from underneath the index on as we get closer and closer to the presidential elections, Jim. Does that have anything to do with this deteriorating attitude out there?
It might. And I say it might because we don't know for sure. What people are telling us is that they are concerned about the possibility of policy changes that will impact their farms after the election. We don't have a good read on what that means in terms of what policies they're thinking about necessarily, but they're concerned about change. And I guess in a way what they're telling us is they're concerned about the unknown. And given the risk of who actually wins the election, we could see some significant policy changes that impact agriculture. Going back to 2016, to some extent the 2020 election, the things that people told us they were most worried about were changes to tax policy, changes in the regulatory environment. That was actually the top choice. And then they were worried about what was going to take place with respect to trade. And you know, what's going on with trade is interesting. Producers have really lost confidence in the future growth prospects for U.S. ag trade and U.S. ag exports. We got the lowest reading we've ever gotten in responding to that question when we asked people what they think is going to happen to ag exports over the next 5 years. And historically, exports have been an engine of growth for U.S. agriculture. So that maybe explains some of the lack of optimism as well.
Yeah, this is really something. I saw that number in your report. 26% of respondents reported that they expect U.S. ag exports to rise over the next 5 years. Just a quarter of the respondents are looking for improvement in ag exports. I think that's really telling about the concern that growers have got going, about the change in the administration that's coming one way or another.
Yeah, and I think you can't emphasize enough. You go back decades, the big engine of growth for U.S. ag has historically been this growth in ag exports, not just exporting grains, right? We've become a major force with respect to exporting meat and meat products.
Yep.
So it's bigger than just the grains. We used to talk about corn exports, soybean exports. It's bigger than that.
It certainly is. Certainly is. Jim, this was a really important survey that you guys just wrapped up. And it's going to be kind of a benchmark survey, I think, for us going forward. Thanks, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next month.
All right. Thanks, Chip. Looking forward to it.
You bet. Jim Minter, Director of the Center for Commercial Ag at Purdue University.
Farmers, let's talk Pioneer brand for seed and list corn.
Yes, Coach!
Wow, love the energy. Okay, it clobbers corn rootworms and weeds for higher yields.
Yes, Coach!
And Vorseed Enlist delivers next-generation corn rootworm protection.
Yes, Coach!
Plus powerful exclusive genetics and flexibility to manage tough weeds.
Yes, Coach!
Now get out there and
grow!
I guess being a Pioneer agronomist is like being a coach.
Start your best year yet at pioneer.com/rootworm.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Roots. We plant them, we feed them. They are the foundation. This is Matthew with Bluff Country Feed and Seed. We support our customers through quality feed, seed, fertilizer, and most of all, service. We know Bluff Country because we live here. At Bluff Country, we understand the importance of community and the relationships we build. Our commitment is to provide you with top quality products and the service you deserve. Strong roots make for thriving communities. Plant your roots with Bluff Country Feed and Seed.
Milk markets are mostly lower from World Dairy Expo. I'm Brian Winnikins on WRDN. November milk down 22 now to 22.39. December down 12 to 21.39. January down 11 to 20.61. And February up 1 to 20.03. Meanwhile, in the livestock sector, live and feeder cattle markets, they do continue to move mostly higher on an aggressive rally in the markets as the trade decides, hey, we're going to push things up even higher, even though box beef prices are mixed. There have been some bids developing in the south at 187. Hog markets are also moving mostly higher, getting some strength really from the cattle markets because pork cutout values are slightly lower. The traders are wanting to advance the lean hog complex due to some of the bullish sentiment in the livestock sector. October live cattle up 232 to 186.80. October feeder cattle up 312 to 249.27. October hogs up 72 cents to 84.22. Meanwhile, at the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn markets moving higher, really getting some support from wheat with double-digit gains. Drought conditions developing in Ukraine and Russia. That has European wheat prices moving sharply higher, and that's helping U.S. wheat, and corn's basically coming along for the ride. Soybeans now have moved mostly mixed. Again, that expected rain and harvest pressure, rain in the South American regions and harvest pressure in the U.S. is causing the mixed results. December corn down now up 3 to 432. November beans down 2 to 10.55 and a quarter.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op. Farmers, it's harvest time and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa Know-How from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days unless you listen to AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk and the World Dairy Expo in Madison, Wisconsin. A big thank you to Alltech for making it possible to bring coverage from the World Dairy Expo. With that in mind, let's make time for this industry spotlight. Martha Baker is the Global Director of Carbon Markets at Alltech. Martha, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Glad that you're here. Talk to me about Scope 3 emissions.
Scope 3 emissions are truly just the emissions that are related to an organization's supply chain.
Okay.
And whenever you look at most large CPGs or brands, approximately 70% of their emissions are connected to their supply chain. So there's a pretty large focus on that as industry is trying to lower their total carbon footprint.
That's the connection to the dairy and World Dairy Expo right there, right?
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So talk to me about what Alltech is doing with Concord Agricultural Partners.
So Concord Ag Partners has a carbon credit program that is focused on creating verified emission reductions. And they're using Agilent as the technology that creates that.
Okay.
So they're very farm focused, and they're sending 85% of the gross value of the carbon credit back to the farm gate. And what we're doing is we're simply making sure that any farm that uses Agilent is aware of the various programs out there. And it doesn't matter who you ship to or where you're at, or if you're a small farm or a large farm, or an organic farm or a conventional farm. You can participate in Concord's program, so we just want to make sure people get the greatest value out of using the product.
What is Agilent?
Agilent is a rumen modifier. It okay. is a blend, a proprietary blend of essential oils, and it's really a performance enhancement product first. It gives you about 4.1% increase in fat protein corrected milk, about a 4.5% increase in feed efficiency. And then there's some data out there that researchers have generated that shows that there's a reduction in enteric methane. So while we're focused on the production side, then there are some folks like Concord that are utilizing that data to create these carbon projects and
awesome.
And generate additional revenue sources.
Okay. I'm going to ask you to do this real quick, but I'm going to ask you, where are we in the development of the carbon markets?
That's a big question. I like to say that carbon is one of the most gray areas out there.
Yeah.
It's evolving rapidly and slowly.
Yeah.
But in reality, there are several really solid programs out there for farms to participate in. They can have a lot of comfort in it, that they are real, they pay real dollars.
Yep.
A matter of fact, there is Concord's project in North America right now is about to trigger payouts in the next probably 2 weeks.
Okay.
It's going to be over $840,000 in local currency. So it's real money.
It's real money.
Yeah.
Real money, no doubt. All right. Where can we learn more about it, Martha?
So alltech.com.
Okay.
Please feel free to go there. You can look up the Agilent story. And then any of your local Alltech representatives, Feedworks USA is a primary distributor as well. They are very well versed and are deep into this as well. So we would love to talk to people if they have questions.
Fantastic. Thank you, Martha. I appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely.
Martha
Thanks.
Baker, Global Director of Carbon Markets at Alltech. All right, it is time for this week's Farmer Forum. And we're going to be talking about all things dairy right now. Gail Klinkner from Wisconsin joins us. Gail,
good morning.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. I'm just fine. Tell me about your operation.
You know, my husband, Rob, and I farm up by Viroqua, Wisconsin, so southwest Wisconsin in the Driftless area. We milk about 50 registered Holsteins and Jerseys and farm with our 5 children. And then we also have an on-farm store where we sell beef, pork, and lamb, and hopefully invite the community out. Mm-hmm. To the open barn door and, you know, share our story.
Direct to consumer.
Yes, exactly.
You're willing to put in the work if you're going direct to consumer, aren't you?
We are actually. Yeah. We have a couple evenings on the farm in the summer, yeah. And we invite people out at chore time so they get that experience.
Good.
And that hands-on experience.
That's fantastic. Good for you. We'll talk more about that. Charles Krause from Minnesota. Charles, good to see you again. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Chip. I'm great. Fantastic. I farm just west of Minneapolis, about 40 miles south of downtown Minneapolis. My son Andrew, and we have about 350 Holsteins, grow our own feed. And practice every day to be part of the community and tell our story and do tours and as much as we can to get that dairy story out so people know where the food's coming from. Yeah.
The last time we talked about how you were doing that. Give us a reminder of what you are doing to tell your story.
So there's all kinds of ways you can reach consumers. I do it on social media. We do it with the best way is to get them on a farm, but you can't get everyone on a farm. And we do all age groups, anything, school groups, civic groups. And we have actually hosted breakfast on the farm before with 2,000 people serving them breakfast and giving them a tour. So any way you can reach the consumer, and there's so many ways to do that. The easiest is social. So we try to do, not as active as I should be, but I try to post on Instagram and Facebook, and I'm not a TikToker yet, but my goal is not to be an influencer, but an informer of what family farms are about.
Good for you. Good for you. And we also have, geez, I'm having a hard time finding information on this one. Oh, Bonert from the editor of Farm Journal's Milk. Is that right?
Yeah.
And a dairy farmer too?
You know, Chip, I think we've talked before. We're both getting a little old here, huh? We had dinner together last night. At any rate, yes.
That's right. That's
you know, gosh, I've choked. I don't know if I've told you this before. My husband and I occasionally will go on a date and I'll say we can't talk about kids or cows and we just kind of stare at each other. So yes, we're very passionate about both. We milk about 700 cows. We farm about 1,300 acres in Northwest Illinois, home of John Deere. So and we have three children, two of which are in college with plans to return to the dairy farm. And then our son Jacob is a freshman in high school. So like Charles and like Gail, I mean, we're a family farm.
Yep.
And I love telling the stories of dairy farmers across the United States. They're really threaded by deep values and a deep commitment. As you could tell that in their free time, they're still working, whether it's working with the community and just and being engaged.
Yep, exactly. Gail, what's the market for your milk?
Oh, we send our milk to Westby Co-op Creamery.
Okay. And from there, it is?
So world-renowned cheese, cottage cheese, cheese curds, sour cream. Yeah, excellent. All cheese.
Excellent. Charles?
I'm a DFA farmer, so Kemp's in the Midwest. So the Kemp's bottling plant's only 39 miles from my farm. So fresh and local, 24/7.
Fluid milk. But, yeah. Karen?
Yeah, we sell to Brewster Cheese. It's a small, I shouldn't say small, but a largest maker of Swiss cheese. And so when having Jersey cows going to a cheese product, it makes sense. It's the most efficient. Our milk is not as close as theirs. It gets trucked about 70 miles away.
Okay.
But regardless, all milk is fresh and products, and you know, you can't go wrong with U.S. dairy products.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to talk more about that, no question. Charles, what's been the number one conversation here at World Dairy Expo for you this year?
So we are excited to announce that we've launched a farmer-facing website, dairycheckoff.com. It's a one-stop shop. Just go to dairycheckoff.com and any questions you have, you should be able to get answered from there or be able to connect it to a board member. We have links to stories we have. We have links to the Dairy Farmer Checkoff podcast. So if you're a podcaster, you like listening to podcasts when you're in the tractor and the skid steer or whatever, we monthly put out podcasts talking about a variety of things. The last one that came out was about school milk pertinent to this time of year and how National Dairy Council's making efforts to improve and work on school milk. And so the dairycheckoff.com is the one thing we're trying to get people to sign up for and get on and learn more about where their checkoff money goes. And that can take you down different ways. You know, there's ways of sustainability, exports, reputation, partnerships, all these things that checkoff's working on. And then we also have a link to the board members that serve on the national board. So you could get contacted back to your local farmer that way.
Gotcha. Give us that website again.
Dairycheckoff.com.
Pretty straightforward, isn't it?
You bet. And you can actually get it, put it on your homepage and just click on it anytime you want to and learn more about Dairy Checkoff.
Excellent. Gail, what about you? What's been the hot topics of discussion here at WD?
Yeah, I would echo the dairycheckoff.com. You know, Charles and I both sit on the Farmer Relations Committee for DMI. And, you know, what an important job I feel like we have talking to our farmers and sharing what we do. And there's so many projects that the National Checkoff does. And we could sit here and talk about it for half the day, I'm sure.
I'm sure we could.
But talking about, you know, partnerships, you know, we partner internationally with Pizza Hut. And then local or within the United States, talking with McDonald's and Domino's and Taco Bell, those number one fast food places, and how much milk we can sell, whether that be in cheese or in other innovations.
Yeah.
Right back.
Those partnerships with McDonald's, Domino's, Taco Bell, they've got people working on ways to sell more cheese for you guys.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What an advantage, Karen.
A huge advantage. And it's all about innovation and taking a wholesome product and meeting consumers where they're at.
And giving consumers what they want.
And giving them what they want.
Well, they didn't want that cheese and lots of it on those fast food products or choices, they wouldn't be there.
And that's how we grow, that's how we grow demand.
Yeah. You talk about Taco Bell specifically, cheese used to be a garnishment. Now it's a main part of the menu. And farmers will say, why don't you put it with caffeine? Well, they have the Mountain Dew Baja Blast, and that's 100% real full fat cream that we've embedded in their test kitchens to develop this full fat cream to put in a drink for people to have. And that's Taco Bell's the number one stop for Gen Z.
That's crazy. It's the influence of the fast food market on dairy and dairy demand is really astonishing. Okay, we're going to talk more about innovation and technology when we come back on AgriTalk.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line.
I'm Dr. Lowell Steen, Chief of Cardiology at Loyola University Medical Center, with Ira Antelis, founder of 120 Life, a drink that supports healthy blood pressure.
It's great to be here, literally, because I almost wasn't. 5 years ago, I got a terrifying warning from my doctor that my blood pressure was off the charts.
That must have really shaken you.
It did, but I knew there had to be a natural way to lower my blood pressure. So I developed 120 Life, a juice blend to help lower blood pressure.
How much did your blood pressure drop?
In 2 weeks, it dropped 30 points.
That's remarkable. And no side effects?
None. It's all natural superfruits and key minerals, and it's helped thousands of customers lower their blood pressure.
Where can you get 120 Life?
Just go to 120life.com, that's 120life.com, and use the code JUICE for 15% off. If your numbers don't improve, I'll send your money back.
So you really have nothing to lose. Take control of your blood pressure today by visiting 120life.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day, and we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
When I got out of the Marine Corps, I was not just, you know, working with my physical disabilities, I was emotionally broken. I remember thinking, how did I get here? How? It was affecting me in my marriage. My husband, he didn't know how to help me. He actually called Wounded Warrior Project. Wounded Warrior Project had this thing called Couples Odyssey.
It was an eye-opener, and I think it really saved our marriage.
They gave us books and resources and tools on how to help us with that.
I just love him. I love you, honey.
Me too.
Watching her fight for her mental health, fighting for other veterans, fighting for this family, helped me to fight too. Well, I always loved her, but I love her 10 times more for that.
Not all wounds are visible. If you or a loved one are suffering, visit woundedwarriorproject.org/not alone.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report. Join me each weekend as we explore the news and issues that matter the most to agriculture. We know this past year has been challenging in many ways, but as agriculture continues to adapt, we are right there with you. From markets to weather, each weekend we take a deep dive into what matters most. Join me each weekend for U.S. Farm Report, timely, trusted tradition.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at #AgriTalk.
Not allowed here today, no doubt about that. Welcome back. We're talking Charles Chip Flory, Farmer Forum, live from the World Dairy Expo. Big thank you to Alltech for sponsoring this morning's show. We've got the Farmer Forum going. Karen Bonert from Illinois, also the editor of Farm Journal's Milk, Gail Klinkner from Wisconsin, and Charles Krause from Minnesota. Guys, everywhere you look here, there is new technology. There are innovations on the production side everywhere you look here. Gail, how do you decide what even gets a second look?
Right. You know, my husband and I spend some time before we come to World Dairy Expo and think about where are those opportunities for improvement on our farm? Yeah. Where are those little things that it's like, well, that's not going quite how we want it to go. And then that's what we turn and look for when we come here.
All right. Charles, what are you looking for?
You know, there's so many ways to access information about that, but it's nice to get hands on and see the equipment.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's an operation and talk to people that can give you the answers you want to do and compare and also see, is it going to be something that I can get someone to come work on it if it's not working on my farm? You know, cause that's important too. It's fascinating. The technology that we have, the light year speed that things are moving. And the best part about it is how efficient it makes us as dairy farmers. And if it can first check the boxes, does it make me more sustainable economically? That's what you're looking for. Okay. And does it make my life a little bit easier, not harder? And so that's what you're looking for. Cause we all work every day, but if we can do it a little bit easier and make our herd more proficient and efficient that way, it checks the box.
How has technology changed the way that you guys run your dairy? I mean, just it's got to be completely different than 20 years ago.
Right. And sometimes you look around and you say, are you farming in 1980 or are you farming in 2024?
Right.
You know, looking for those little bits of things or like Charles says, you know, innovations or sustainability practices that can make us better.
Yeah. It's really cool. Karen, Farm Journal has gone through a focus of purchase with a purpose.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a lot of options.
It's endless.
On display here.
You know, Chip, it's endless. And our State of the Dairy Industry Report, we ask producers, you know, where are you going to spend your dollars in the coming years? And technology and innovation definitely led the pack. And there's so many things in it. They have different price points. So There's ones, you know, whether you do cow sensor tags or genomics. I mean, or if you put in a new parlor or go robotic, there's so many different options. One gentleman I spoke to yesterday said that he's looking for where he's going to invest dollars is what can, something that can return value quickly that can, pay the way for the next project.
Right.
You know, cause they're looking just at immediately what we're going to do. What are we going to do in the next 3 to 5 years? Because it's kind of a constant change.
Yeah. Goal oriented decision making, because if I do this today, I'll be able to do this tomorrow.
But when you talk about technology with dairy producers, it's really about disturbing the cows less and less. Mm-hmm. And we're gaining efficiencies because they're becoming more and more in their natural environment.
Yeah.
And so it's just even like Gail said, how we did herd health things 10 years ago or 20 years ago, even in modern facilities, how they're doing those same type of, you know, giving ob-sync shots or things like that are being done maybe in the parlor and not in the barn because they're, you know, wanting to disturb that animal less and less.
The advancements that we've made in cow comfort, Charles, over the last even 5 years, with the stall bedding and their loafing areas, it's incredible.
I'm a fifth generation farmer, and I think back to what would my grandfather, even my father, think the way we're running it now. Mm-hmm. With these activity monitors, I pulled my phone out right now. It would tell me what cows need to be bred, what cows may be having a health code, what mm-hmm. cows might be, and pull up a camera and see what's going on. And you know, here I am 5 hours from home, 350 miles from home, and I can call someone at home and say, check on this cow. You know, and that's a technology that didn't exist 5 or 10 years ago. And it makes me excited to see what's 5 years down the road and how we manage. And all of it we do is to make ourselves more efficient. And like Karen said, make that cow in a more natural environment and let her perform for you.
Because these cows are becoming more efficient with pounds of milk and just their components and their milk quality.
Yep.
But the production is, you know, we've had this conversation or this technology doesn't just focus on dairies. It's what the whole dairy industry is doing. And it's what Checkoff does with technology. And that's pretty incredible too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. The hot topic that I've been talking about is a tight supply of replacement heifers. All right. And I don't know if it's a tight supply of replacement heifers or a tight supply of expansion heifers. Mm-hmm. I think it might be expansion because we can replace the cows that are being culled, right, Charles?
Exactly. You have that right. You know, we've seen a big uptick in the beef on dairy.
Yeah.
And which is a great story. And
boy, are you doing it?
We are. Yeah. We're about 70% crossbred calves being born on our farm. And we use sex semen on our best genetic animals to get the heifers we want. We only need a certain number. We're not trying to grow. And so another technology that you wouldn't even think of, what, you know, we used to try to breed everything we could to get as many heifer calves as you could because it was a 50-50 thing. And now with this beef on dairy, it's really been a gold mine in the last year for
an alternative profit source, right? A big,
exactly.
It smoothed out the financial valley here in a big way, didn't it?
It sure did. But that did tighten up the heifer market for expansion, which tightens supply, which in turn supply and demand. And right and now,
we're to buy those heifers.
Yeah.
If you are in needing to buy, you're going to be paying a pretty penny.
Yeah. And I know Karen's doing it. Gail, are you guys using beef genetics?
So we are using some beef genetics, but that also transmits into our store on the farm.
Of course.
So we do keep some of them, but then we also have a fair number of heifers. And being a smaller dairy, we're the ones hopefully selling some of your replacement heifers.
Right.
Which is a nice market.
Beef on dairy genetics, but you're going direct to the consumer with it. That is that retained ownership to the nth degree right there.
Well, and I have to share, we just had our first Jersey Wagyu cross calf, and I'm so excited. And, you know, coming to the Clicker Country Store in March of 2026.
Fantastic. Yes. You guys, what a great conversation. Gail, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Charles, thank you. And, of course, Karen. Appreciate it. That's Karen Boner, Illinois dairy farmer and editor of Farm Journal's. Gail Kickner from Wisconsin, Charles Krause from Minnesota. Thank you so much for listening this morning. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with Mike North from Everag. Tomorrow morning, I'll be back in the bunker.
I am Rosario Dawson. Cancer can be a challenging journey, one that no one should take on alone.
and Stand Up to Cancer wants to make sure no one has to. We bring together the best scientists and doctors to accelerate research, leading to more effective treatments. With each new advancement, we're getting closer than ever to our mission of making every cancer patient cancer-free. To get there even faster, we rely on the support from individuals like you, so that through our combined efforts, more patients and their loved ones will see that even though cancer may interrupt the journey, it doesn't have to determine the destination. The fight against cancer never stops. Thankfully, new and promising treatments can help save lives now. Let's go further together. Find out how you can join the mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Paid for by Christian Care Ministry.
You know, a lot of times you have to choose between something high quality or something that saves you money. But if you could get both, why not? Especially when it comes to health care, and that is MediShare. You get both. Many families save $500 a month with MediShare, and that's huge. But it's also true that people wind up way more satisfied.